can, let's turn on. I was waiting for Carrie Stewart, and I think we're missing someone from True Commission, but it is a little after one. So I'll call the meeting to order, and we will do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And if we can introduce ourselves, we do have two new members here. Mr. All, we'll start with you. Will you introduce yourself and who you're with?
Sure. I'm Brian All. I'm Vice Chair of the Ethics Commission.
Make sure you turn on into the speakers, please.
And I'm Charlie Kofer, and I'm the new public defender.
And Judge Centerfit with the state.
I'm John Cressman, at-large, Group 2 member of the Jacksonville City Council.
I'm Lee Hutton, the designee for the State Attorney's Office.
All right, thank you. I appreciate all of you being here. I guess three of you are new to this group. We are in a position of getting ready to advertise to get a new Inspector General. I think we all agreed that although we're working on that and have some plans in place, we thought it would be a good idea to have one more short meeting here to have the new members, let them introduce themselves and see if they had any questions and just make sure we're in good shape. Let me go back. We do need to look at the approval of the minutes from the November 16, 2016 meeting. Did everyone get those? I think they were emailed out.
Move approval.
All right. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay, so the November 16, 2016 minutes have been approved.
And I have cast a vote because I was present in the audience, so I did observe. So.
Yes, I remember seeing you sitting in the audience on November 16th. Okay, so we've taken care of that. So we just wanted to discuss for a few moments the Inspector General, the advertisement. Who can you speak to that?
Yeah. Diane Moser, Employee Services. I believe you all should have received a copy of the job posting that we had drafted. Obviously, this is still in its draft form for publication, and the intention is to advertise beginning on Monday, which is the 23rd. During the last meeting, it was discussed that we should add a sentence in there regarding the size of the office and the budget. In essence, there are budgetary constraints, and so a sentence was added to the posting that had been done previously, and that sentence is the second paragraph, the last sentence. It reads, "This is a new office that has limited resources, including staff and budget." We also discussed adding in here when the interviews would occur, and there is a line that's actually on the third page of the posting. It's the very last line that says interviews are anticipated to be held the week of March 20th, and obviously that's in order to provide advance notice to people for planning purposes. The majority of the job spec or the job posting is exactly as it was last time. One of the things that we might want to discuss, and obviously that would be up to the committee, would be whether we want to post the salary or just say salary will be commensurate with experience.
Do we have the salary in there now, the salary range?
Yeah,
we do. It's on the very top. Okay. All right. Yes,
question.
Mr. Cressenbetty.
Well, Ms. Moser, I would recommend that we put the salary range in there. I mean, are you suggesting we post a notice without any salary range? Or
we can certainly do either or. I mean, we've had this range in here before. I think it's nice to have the range in.
I think,
so I was just throwing out
another I think
option.
Without a range, you're going to have people that may have much higher expectations. And we get them here, and they're going to be like, "What? The cap's 160? You know, I'm in a job now that's paying 280 or something." So I think the range needs to stay. However, the last sentence in the second paragraph under job description, it's an improvement, but I'm not sure it takes us where we need to go. This isn't a new office. It is a newer office, but I don't want to mislead anybody that might be looking at this that might think this is something that they're going to have to come in and stand up for us. So, and is there a way we could just publish what the budget is or and the staff number is, or could we just say currently has limited resources? I don't know. I want to be truthful and forefront, not run into the same situation we did with the gentleman from Chicago.
Sure.
But I also don't want to discourage them by putting that sentence in. And right now, if I were reading that, I would think, oh my gosh, this is a brand new office. I'm going to be starting from scratch. And they're already telling me there's limited resources. I mean, I think that, I don't know what that means. I mean, the Chicago guy might think limited is $5 million instead of $8. The applicant from Topeka might think that, oh my gosh, that might be like $10,000. So I would recommend we kind of wordsmith that sentence and maybe talk about a newer office, a three-year-old office. And if we're going to talk about limited, I would say currently, because I don't want them to think that that can't change. But I would want to hear what you would have to say about whether or not we just plug in the actual budget for this year, current fiscal year budget of, and staff headcount of, whatever it is. What is our staff? What did we authorize in this year's budget?
Nine.
Yeah, I think we should probably be up front.
Anybody else have any thoughts on that?
I just wanted to follow up. What was the budget number that's associated with it?
$937,000. But keep in mind that a lot of that is most of it's, of course, payroll, and a lot of it is non-discretionary fixed costs that we have.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
No, I agree. I think we could, both as to the length in which the office has been open, the present number of positions and budget, I think that'll help with the self-filtering that you have with proposals such as this.
And I agree, keeping the salary posted would serve that purpose as well.
I agree, Mr. Cresimini. I think we ought to keep the salary range in there. That is what it is. And I agree, that sentence just by itself seems like we're talking bad about our office. I agree. It seems to me like it would be better to just add a sentence. This office has been open for 3 years or has, you know, was established 3 years ago, has a budget of $937,000 and a staff currently of nine.
I would say a current budget.
A current budget and,
current staff. That kind of implies that it can grow.
Yeah, lets them know that, yeah, I mean, that's where it's set now. It gives them an idea and hopefully it helps prevent what we had last time where we had an applicant that we all liked and he initially said he understood what the budget was and how small the office was, and then we made an offer and he turned us down because it was too small, even after we asked him that specifically during the interview process. But I think that lets people know up front what it is, you know, and we don't seem to be talking bad. We're just saying this is what it is. So do I hear like a motion to?
I'll second or move your suggestion.
Okay.
And I'll second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Did we get new carpet in the office over there?
Yes.
Okay. When is that coming? We didn't budget it?
We don't have
to. I was going to say, let's put that in.
Sorry.
Office has new carpet.
Well, we don't.
Don't make promises we can't keep.
Right. Okay. Were there any other specific changes to the advertisement or the description here?
Those were just the specific changes.
All right. Then maybe we need to discuss the interview dates. I know we had talked about we have a meeting. We discussed March 2nd for our meeting to select candidates for the interviews. Is everyone okay with that? It would be Thursday, March 2nd at 1 o'clock for the afternoon.
Yes.
You want us to discuss now your and Cheryl's recommendation about how
Mr. Cofer, that looks fine with me.
Mr. Hutton, you okay?
Yeah. You starting at what time? I'm sorry?
1 o'clock?
Time absolutely. Next
meeting. Okay, terrific. So we'll set our next meeting for March 2nd for selection of candidates to actually interview. We discussed before Thursday and Friday for the actual interviews, March 23rd, 24th. That's a Thursday, Friday. I know that Ms. Steckler, I think, would definitely be available Wednesday, the 22nd, and I think she could make arrangements to be present the 23rd. Can we maybe back the interviews up to 22nd and 23rd instead of 23rd and 24th?
Ms. Steckler, in her email to me, really strongly recommend the 20th, 21st, 22nd, if possible.
Yes. Actually, I'm sorry. I know that is what she asked. Okay. I know for those of us at the courthouse, early in the week is tough. Monday, Tuesday.
City Council, too.
And even Wednesday. Yeah, and I thought with City Council that might be a problem. So I know I had indicated to her that maybe we could bump it up to Wednesday, Thursday, but I thought Monday, Tuesday's just... Now, if that's good for everybody else, I'll make arrangements, but that I know that would be difficult for me.
I mean, Thursday, Friday would work better, but Wednesday, Thursday is second better.
Doable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same for me.
You could do Wednesday, Thursday?
Yes.
So 22nd, 23rd?
Yes, March.
Yeah, I think I can do them.
Okay.
I'll let you all vote on that. Ms. Moser has another matter. She needs to talk to you. That's right.
So we will set the interviews for Wednesday, March 22nd, and March 23rd.
Justin, what time would those start?
We would start that in the morning. I think we can talk when we select our candidates and know exactly how many we're going to interview. I know before we got in here kind of early, we started at, 8 a.m. or because we had a lot to do. So if that's okay, we'll pick an exact time, but plan on in the morning. All right.
Thank you. One of the items that Ms. Steckler and I spoke about, and Mr. Rohan was present when we were having the discussion, was how to bring the applicants forward to you. And our recommendation is that we, once we receive all the applications, we look at them and determine which ones are the most qualified and to bring you the top 10.
Do we have to put an absolute number on that? I'm just thinking if we had 12, that you guys really, as you review the applications and resumes, think, gosh, there are actually 12 here. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, I think we can certainly use some judgment. I mean, obviously, Cheryl has a lot of experience reviewing the qualifications, so I think we'll be able to make that determination. We can shoot for roughly around 10. We envision that there'll be more applications coming in last time than had come in previously because of the change of administration, federal change of administration.
Through the chair to Ms. Moser. Ms. Moser, can you describe that process to me of how you cobble down the big box full of respondents to a list that might be 10 or more that you think are most qualified?
Through the chair, absolutely. What we do is we review each and every application, and we compare it to what the minimum qualifications are and what the preferred qualifications are. And obviously, those that meet the minimum qualifications and have the preferences are ranked higher on our list of candidates than if they don't have the preferences. So we look at so the minimum qualifications, you know, everybody has the same mandatory qualifications. They have to have the bachelor's degree, but a master's degree is preferred. So if you look at, let's say everything else is considered equal, if somebody has a master's degree and everybody else has a bachelor's, we would move the person who has the master's degree forward. And we would do that with each and every one of the qualifications. So basically be reviewing those that are the most qualified.
So it's strictly an objective process, master's degree, yes or no, certified, whatever, there's some categories that we were looking for, yes or no. I mean, it's all an objective evaluation at that point?
Through the chair, we try to make it as objective as possible. Anytime you're reviewing something in print, you know, there has to be a certain amount of interpretation. So even like regarding the legal experience, we're going to be looking for specific legal experience. So with that said, we make it as objective as possible, and we do look at dates. However, we do have to try to assess the level of the experience, and sometimes that's not always very easily gleaned from the application.
And how many of these objective criteria are you looking at?
We would just look at the mandatory and the preferred qualifications and start there.
Can you remind me how many of those there were?
Right now there are three mandatory requirements. One of them is the degree. Then must possess 10 years of experience in governmental accounting, investigation, or prosecutorial or criminal justice administration, public administration, or business administration. And what we'll do is for those, that's a lot within 10 years, so we're going to break those down into pieces. And obviously, if somebody has 10 years, that includes all of those types of experiences, they will receive like a higher rating than somebody who has 10 years in one or two of those areas. The IG shall not have been found guilty of or entered a plea of nolo contendere, or to any felony or any misdemeanor. That would obviously just remove the person from consideration. And then the preferred experience and certifications are federal, state, or local inspector general experience. We would give the same weight to whether it's federal, state, or local, but we might give greater weight if the span of control was larger or if the jurisdiction was larger. For the another preferred certification, would be certified public accountant or internal auditor.
Is there a way that you're probably not going to want to do this, so it's not a question of whether you want to do this or not, it's a question of can you do it, create some sort of like spreadsheet that could rank all those things for each candidate that you could then sort by how well they achieved points in across the particular row of fields that they were entering values into. So, because I tried to do that when I was scoring the applications myself, but it would be helpful if you could do that on the front end, because I was trying to track, you know, whether they had any certifications, whether they had, you know, what degree they had, whether they had, whether they were a veteran, all that kind of stuff. I was just trying to plot as I went through all these. It would be great if you guys, if you're doing that anyway in your preliminary evaluation, if you could just put it on a spreadsheet for us, that would be terrific. Can you do that?
Through the chair, we can absolutely do that.
Okay. Is that just because you're up for a vote Tuesday night? No, I'm just kidding.
Can I just maybe one concern or qualification on that? I don't really want to get a ranking, though. I mean, you're not asking for a ranking, right? Just sort of a check.
I just want to, it would just be helpful for me if I wanted to compare Mr. Smith to Ms. Johnson. I could look at this sheet and say, oh, Smith's got a CPA law degree, Johnson's got a master's degree, but they're a certified investigator or whatever, some of those, I mean, it's just a way for me to kind of see like how everything was.
Yeah, So, and I would, I guess, want to make it clear, we're not asking for any kind of ranking. Whoever you happen to put on top, or I guess you could put them by alphabetical order, maybe. Yeah. But we don't need for y'all, I don't think, to rank them for us.
We could do alphabetical if that's preferred, or we can group them. We can group them into three different categories. Highly experienced.
In my mind, that's judgment, and I'd rather leave that for the committee.
I think we're talking just an Excel spreadsheet with columns, this, and that's. Mm-hmm.
And if I'm looking for Ms. Johnson, it's going to be easier for me to find it.
If it's alphabetical.
She's on there alphabetically, right.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Rohan.
One of the things I've learned about the process is that Employee Services, in addition to the job description, also sends out a questionnaire that the candidates have to fill out. And it's quite detailed, and they demand that people are responsive and do not just say, see resume and things like that. So one of the things that they would be doing is culling out those people who have not been responsive to the questionnaire, deceptive or just don't show any real true interest. So that'll be part of it also.
That's good. Anybody else? Issues, thoughts?
Do we actually get to a resolution of them culling down to 10 or 12?
I think so. I think Ms. Moser's agreed. I mean, we're not setting an absolute number that y'all will give us, which you think are the top candidates, the people we really should consider in the area of 10. Definitely could be more if you think there's a few more than that that we ought to consider.
Absolutely. We will determine eligibility. Those who are not eligible are obviously not even up for consideration. And then we will give you the top candidates in alphabetical order, and there'll be approximately 10, maybe more.
Okay?
Yes.
All right. And we've got our dates for the interview. Yes, sir. Mr. Rohan?
One other date that needs to be put on there, that would be June 2nd, 2017. Honor the June 2nd, or when replaced, whichever is sooner, that'll be when my term will end. And I thank you for the honor of being selected to be the interim inspector general, but make a selection this time, because I'm out June 2nd or before. It's been a wonderful experience.
And we do appreciate you doing the job for us, and in fact, of course, it got extended. I know when you initially took the job, you took it for a period of time and then agreed to stay longer, and we do appreciate that. Unless there's anything else, I guess we can go to comments from the public.
Can I ask one? Yes, in the job description, I'm trying to see, does it have a no start date no later than in it?
Oh, that's...
Through the chair, it does not.
That's a thought. Do we want to include that? Because, again, we did have the experience of having a candidate that we all thought might be a good candidate, but it turned out he had applied but wasn't available for maybe a year or more. So maybe we should put something in that we would like this person to be available to start by a certain date.
Just trying to help Mr. Rohan out.
It's a good suggestion, Mr. Cooper.
Well, through the chair, theoretically, once you make the selection, you can, if the person is in town, if they're local and available, they can come to work anytime between that selection and the confirmation, knowing full well that they have to be confirmed. Or if they're not available, then, of course, the confirmation process shouldn't take us past June 2nd. But if you wanted to put in language to be available sometime between, say, April 1st and June 2nd, you could do that.
I think that's not a bad idea. There at the end, after we put how large the office is and maybe add a sentence that we would... candidates should be available to start work between the dates of April, whatever, and June 2nd.
I think it start work no later than would be a better way.
No later than June
2nd. No later than June 1st.
Through the chair, I noticed that the
check the payroll.
The job description itself doesn't mention confirmation. So I know it's in the ordinance code. It's very clear that that's required. But would that be something that would be included in this document, that candidates required to be confirmed by the city council?
We can certainly add that in. We do have that in our appointed official positions that are open or other that report to the mayor. So we can certainly add that, too.
Does everybody agree that's a good idea to add?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, then let's add that. There's consensus. We'll add both of those, that we want them to be able to start no later than. Is June 1st a good date? Or for?
I believe it's Thursday, the beginning of the next payroll, yeah. But I can double check that.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
So what does that mean? What date should we use?
We can certainly use June 1st. June 1st is a Thursday. This is one of those positions that we can make an exception on.
Okay. So we'll put no later than June 1st starting, and we'll add the language that they do have to be confirmed then by City Council. Anything else? All right. Are we comments from the public? Are there any? Do we have any cards? Any? Yeah, you want to come to the podium?
Conrad Markle, concerned taxpayers of Duval County, 1146 Romney Street. I wasn't going to say, but a couple of words. The first thing I wanted to point out, though, was that John Nooney and I were both here at that last meeting, and if John Nooney didn't speak, it would be probably the first meeting he hasn't spoken at in history. But I know I said a few words, and there's not even any mention in here of us being at the meeting, nor having spoken. And I have been attending, as you know, I've been attending every meeting since Tom Klein made his announcement back in April, early May, including the 11.5-hour ordeal in September that we all sat through. But I just wanted to, I'd like to have that corrected in the record, but because I think it's important that it be shown that the public has, I'm, besides Nooney coming here last time, I'm the only member of the public that's been here, as far as I know, throughout this entire process. And I consider this appointment to be the most important thing that's been done for the public trust since I've been involved with coming down here at least the last 10 years and with concerned taxpayers the last 9 years. Thanks to Tony Bates urging, I got behind Ms. Miller and the reinstatement of the ethics code after the 37-year hiatus, which up until now I've considered to be probably, with everything that goes with that, the one of the biggest steps that's been made to ensure the public trust. But I've also known that the most important is a viable, efficacious inspector general who won't take no for an answer and can wade through the good old boy system that I grew up with as a native of this county and city. I'm really looking forward to the day when we can see this what I call the diamond hard layer or strata being able to be penetrated. I've considered it impermeable for the last 10 years that I've tried to gain any access. But all I really wanted to say was the same thing I said at the last meeting that's not on here, and that is I laud you for your vigilant and diligent effort trying to find the proper person for this job and not straying into the pitfall of trying to just get this over with and appoint somebody impulsively or out of convenience, and then we have to go through, I guess, worse than what happened with Tom Klein. We could end up with somebody who's just nothing but a man in a suit, which the city is pretty good at hiring people like that. So Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. All right. And with
Madam
that,
Chair, Madam Chair, through the, for the record, we'll review our audio and the, if there's the, any changes to be made.
Yeah, the note is not who was present, but if there were any comments, and I remember there were not, but if y'all will please check that.
We'll check that
and
out.
If there were, if my memory is wrong. All right, with that, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.